But Ray's condition was scary, so we were praying for him, and thankfully it turned out that he and Angie had had COVID. It was probably a symptom called COVID pleurisy that he had, but he's home and he's recovering and no heart issues. In fact, the reports were very positive about that. You know, we labor for one another in prayer in the body of Christ, and I mentioned at this time that if there ever was a time for us to love one another and care for one another, it is now, because of physical issues, because of the stresses and the traumas that are going on in the world, the hard times that are that are currently taking place, and others that will be, that we be laboring for each other, not only for physical health, but that we be well, spiritually, and that we be well in our efforts to follow God and Jesus Christ in the days ahead. So I did have a conversation with John Monahan after he had his brain surgery, and he was very positive. And I said, John, how's it feel to have your brain removed? Of course, we laughed about that. And of course, he said, yeah, it feels pretty good. But of course, we were talking about removing of that tumor. The problem is there's one that they can't get to that is in there. So he is about to begin chemo and radiation. So, John, we're praying for you. And the other thing that we pray for in these situations is caregivers and the stresses that come upon wives and family members when one is ill. It's very difficult. It's difficult. It's hard times. It really is. And then I had a visit with Chuck Knight about Judy. And, Chuck's a tender-hearted guy, and, he says, it really hurts me to see Judy hurt. So, that's just the way it is. So, and we're praying for them, and we're praying for all of those that aren't even mentioned, in this prayer request. So, today Dave Haver is the one that actually put this thought into my mind, and I began thinking about it, is the topic, and the topic I'd like for us to delve into a little bit today is preparing for hard times. Preparing for hard times. We are in hard times, and we're headed for worse times, if you know what I mean. And so are we ready for that? And we have to prepare ahead of time for those things. It's my belief that we physically prepare for that as much as we can. A scripture comes to mind. I'm going to quote it. You can read it if you'd like. It's Proverbs 21:31. It says this, talking about this concept. It says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. Soldiers get ready. The horse gets ready. But deliverance is of the Lord. And that's really the way it is for us. All the preparation that we go to ain't going to save us in the long run. What we really need is God's deliverance. Okay, that is what we're really looking for, is God's deliverance for us. And we should be preparing both physically and spiritually, emotionally. If ever there was a time for us to be men and women of courage and faith, it would be now. Because this is difficult, what we're heading to. I was going to play a song, but I think I'm going to skip it, called Hard Times. I think we'll just skip that one. But we must realize we prepare, but we also realize that, hey, deliverance is coming from God. There is just no doubt about it, no other way that can happen. It's the way it's always been. I think every generation and every situation, the children of Israel depended on God's deliverance. They had to have it. We are depending on God's deliverance. And it doesn't mean that we are not going to be in difficulties and trials. What we're talking about in deliverance is the overall end result of it is that this world in its current condition is delivered into the hands of God, the hands of Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. But I want to just kind of preface that with some of the difficulties we are currently having. I don't typically do this. have 7 pages of headlines, but I'll just refer to a few of these. But this is a report. It says, economic reports are indicating that Americans are already unable to keep up with inflation. The cost of fuel and other items has skyrocketed. Anybody filled up with gas lately? I filled up yesterday in Paris, $75 to fill up my truck. And it wasn't but between 1/4 and like 3/8 of a tank. So we're looking at about $100 to fill up. Whew, man. It's amazing. Household savings fell to the lowest rate in 14 years, and people are struggling to maintain their standard of living. You find that true? Yeah, we are. Been to the grocery store lately? Everything is higher. Credit card debt is hitting record highs. Retailers say they are preparing for more of consumers to limit their spending to the bare bones. And that's going to happen. And that has a snowball effect on everything. When we limit our spending, let's say we don't go out to restaurants, then they have to figure out how to survive. Well, we saw during COVID, you know, a lot of us went to, instead of going out to eat, we would, you know, go get the food and bring it home. You know, we would do things like that. Conveniences and having anything we want and going anywhere we want is ending. I look back at our life we've had, and, you know, we are so spoiled, really. We have so much more than I think about my grandparents and even my parents. I remember the days when my mother did not have a dryer. You know what we did? We hung clothes out on the clothesline. There was a time she didn't even have a washing machine, electric. She did things, you know, through the hand crank, and they hung it on the clothesline. And you know, we have really been spoiled with so much, but I'm saying tough times are ahead. I'm not trying to be a prognosticator, but if we look at what the Scripture says, it is interesting where we are and where we're going. There's been a lot of discussions concerning food shortages. I know that. We're preparing for that. Are you preparing for that? Do you have a little bit stored up? I hope we do. I hope we store up what we can, realizing that in the end, you know, if we have 3 months and it takes 4 months for God to come, we may die. But I don't think that happens, because I think He'll deliver us even through difficult circumstances. But Scripture will look at some of these things. Look, you know, President Biden warned us on March the 24th of food shortages due to the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. I've got things to read on that. And it's going to be real, and it is, because Russia and Ukraine are one of the biggest wheat and crops like that in the field exporters to the world. Well, guess what? We're having difficulty. And he said prices of these sanctions, and these are not just imposed upon Russia, they're imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries. And he said, in our country as well. Our country as well. And so, you know, with Russia and Ukraine being the breadbasket of the world and of Europe in terms of wheat, that's an example of some of the shortages. And, you know, here's some reasons. Why are we seeing some of the shortages at grocery stores? Well, again, COVID. COVID shutting down the world. Changed the world. I'm just saying, it changed the world. And we're seeing that in these shortages. It's a combination. You know, there's supply chain issues. There are driver shortages. I know early in the spring we were trying to get peat moss out of Canada, and we couldn't, because no driver would cross into Canada because they didn't want to have to quarantine for 14 days. So then trying to get drivers out of Canada to bring goods and services was really challenging. And, you know, finally that lifted a little bit. But we also have issues with scarcity of packaging things. Labor shortages at manufacturing and production plants, because the workforce just hasn't returned to full strength after, you know, the facilities have restarted from COVID. And just think, you know, you stop all of that process of everything going on for that's been going on regularly, and then you shut it down. It doesn't happen to get going again just real quick. It takes time for things to you know, get back to it. And Kelly Daniels, Keith Daniels of Karl Marx Advisors, said, yes, COVID-19 plays a huge role, especially in the latest variants. And we're talking about people that still have COVID. You know, Ray and Angie came down with it. My boss, Scott Hammer, and his wife, they both came down with it. They took their kids to Schlitterbahn, their grandkids, down to San Antonio, and all those people, and anyway, they came down with it. So, you know, we still haven't got that herd immunity yet completely where we want it to be. But, you know, these Omicron infections are impacting employees. Higher demand from consumers is something. Now, this is something about us. The winter storms across much of the country have caused major short-term delays in recent weeks. Now, we're kind of coming out of that. But just imagine if you live in a snow belt and they have storms. Well, trucks aren't moving, you know, to deliver goods and goods to grocery stores and things like that. So, depending on the severity of the storms, depending on, here's another issue, weather, because crop production depends on weather. What if you are in the corn belt and you can't plant because it's too wet? And then by the time it dries out, you do plant, and then it dries out so much, then you don't get a harvest. See, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of examples. For example, last year's February freeze in Texas, you remember that? How much do you think the cost of that was, the impact? $155 billion in economic damage and losses because of that storm, with a significant portion of it being citrus. You know, that affected that. Other countries, you know, like Brazil, are saying that weather is a key factor in lack of production. So they're saying we can look forward to meat shortages and poultry shortages. You know, beef production is labor-intensive in the slaughterhouses and packing plants, and if you can't get packaging material. an article out of one of the magazines I get there at Vital Earth, out of Soil Mulch Producers News, says this: avian influenza outbreak forces farmer to slaughter and compost 2.75 million chickens. And that was up in Michigan. And so, hard times, you know. Things are just all the freedoms and and all of the benefits and things that we have. We see this all kind of disappearing in just almost like in an instant. It's really interesting to see, and I don't know. I guess we shouldn't think it too strange that it be that way. But you know, there may be dairy and egg shortages as well, fruits and vegetables. There will likely be, if you haven't already, anybody tried to get canned goods and couldn't get any, or you're limited in your amount. Well, there's a reason. The availability of aluminum is limited, and that may cause canned food and beverage shortages. Pet food, if you buy pet food, that might be limited as well. How many of you buy bottled water? Yeah, we may see that because of plastics. Now, I think in the Church of God, everybody will be stocked full with toilet paper and those kind of things. I mean, I visit people and I open their, you know, one of the places when I was in New Mexico, and I was staying with Johnny Lockaby, they had me stay in a room, and I opened the closet, and the whole closet was was filled. And it's like, well, I know where I can come to get some now. But we may see some of those shortages. And if you are one that drinks alcohol, boo to a booze shortage. That's what the headline was. And just like in 2021, we may see liquor shortage due to low supplies of glass for bottling. And then again, they're saying grain shortages will raise costs, and that's because Russia has now put a ban on sending any of their wheat to us. So Interesting. How many of you heard reports about the Great Salt Lake drying up? Have you heard about that? That is, wow, the impact of what that would be like. It's shrunk by 2/3 already because of drought. And what's in store? The lake's flies and brine shrimp would die off. Scientists warn it could start as soon as this summer, threatening the 10 million migratory birds that stop at the lake annually to feed on the tiny creatures. So you see, we see environment is getting messed up. Air around Salt Lake could turn poisonous. Climate change continues to cause record-breaking drought, in that area. And they're worried in Salt Lake City because they're expected to grow 50% by 2060. And I was just thinking, what is the one thing that would limit? We in Texas don't even have enough reservoirs and lakes to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. So, kind of alarming some of the things that we hear, and it is what it is. I don't expect it to get better. It does say in Romans that the whole creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You remember the scripture there in Genesis after original sin had taken place. And it said of the man, of the woman, that she would labor in childbearing. And it says of the man that out of the sweat of his brow, he would labor for food. And, things just are... God intended things to be a blessing, and we are seeing things that are not a blessing at this time. And we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But for us, we have to make it to the end. Blessed and holy is he that is able to do that, and we are to have to endure. But this is not the first time this world has been faced with economic drought and all of these issues. And when those things happen, we need to look out for one another. I'm just saying, put that right out there right now. But there's a story that we have of, and I'll refer to it, I won't turn there. Remember the story of Joseph when he had the vision that there was going to be a drought and that there would be, there was going to be the interpretation of the dream, there's going to be 7 good years of harvest, and then following that are going to be 7 lean years, famine upon the whole world. And what did Joseph do? He prepared. He prepared. And because of preparation and because of God's direction, they were able to survive, survive that. And of course, we know the story. That is even what brought his family and his brothers to Egypt. Was they came down there for a little bit of some victuals, some corn or grain, whatever they could get, because of the preparation of Joseph. God instructs us to prepare, and we're going to look at some examples of that. We know without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I do want us to read James Chapter 2, just a reminder. James chapter 2, and we'll start here verse 23 and read through verse 26. So it says, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He believed God in everything. He believed God would take care of him when he said, Abraham, get up and move. Go out. I'll show you where you're going to go, but just, you ready to go? And he was willing to do that. He was one that had faith. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. And that's an interesting thought. Faith has to be in action. Faith has to be living, and it has to have works with it. Likewise also was not, and this is one of the stories I was going to look at, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. Well, what did she do? She hid the spies. And then she misdirected those that came from, the king of Jericho to another way, and then she let them down out of it. And Scripture talks much about her faith because of what she did. You see that Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, and she was saved. You know, that's Joshua saved her. When she had received the messengers and had sent them another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we have to have faith, but we also God also requires things of us. And we want to look at that because I believe that is a very important thing. What if Noah had not built the ark? What if he had said, well, I'm just living by faith, God, whatever will happen, will happen. We wouldn't be here today, right? We wouldn't be here today. But it says that Noah moved with fear, you know, respect for God, and maybe fear a little bit for his life, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, 8 souls. We know that. We read that. And he was told to make yourself an ark because I'm going to give, you know, there's going to be 120 years and the flood is coming. Things are going to happen. The flood will come upon the earth. And Noah preached those things, but nobody paid attention. Nobody prepared. Nobody paid attention. And then one day, all of a sudden, thunder and rain, and the heavens opened up and the fountains of the earth, and it flooded. And it was because of Noah believing in God and having faith in God, but also following an instruction. Here's another one. What when she could no longer hide Moses, what did Moses' mother do? Scripture says she made him an ark. Well, it was a basket, but Scripture says made him an ark that he might survive. She did something based on her faith. What if the children of Israel, when they were told, I'm going to come, God says, I'm coming, I'm going to pass through the land, and I'm going to strike the firstborn, except on the houses where I see the blood across the lintel and the doorposts. There was some action required there on their part. There was action required. And what would it have been like if they hadn't have done it? Well, there would have been the death of the firstborn. So we have to be people of faith, but faith without works is dead. I am not putting a store, and we have stores. You know, we have, in fact, we've had that for a lot of years. So that's just part of our lifestyle, canned goods, you know, and things. But we know we're not going to save ourselves. We know that ultimately God is the one that delivers us. But I'm just saying, looking at the conditions in the world today since 2020, when things dramatically changed in our world, and I, you know, who do you blame for that? Well, I believe we wrestle not against flesh and blood; it's spiritual wickedness in high places. God, I know that He uses men; Satan uses men, but you know we don't get political about those things. We recognize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there's a change that's taken place. I don't believe we are going back to all this free life where we go where we want to go, when we want to go, and have everything we want to have with abundance. We've had everything in such abundance. Could we live without it? Are we prepared to reduce our standard of living? Are we prepared to live with less, to do with less? I can see that I would, eventually, if prices of gas got so much, I would not travel. I would save my gas money to come to church. I would save my gas money to be able to get together. But maybe we'll get to a point where we're not even able to do that. What if we can't get together? What if we can't hear messages because we don't have any, technology is gone? How will we survive? Would we be okay? Would we, as individual families, be all right? And trust God and know that all things would be okay. We read this over in Timothy, you know, because we have to physically prepare, but we also have to, I believe, spiritually prepare for these times that we're in. In fact, I think we have to have that mental preparation for what's coming. I read something, well, I won't get ahead of myself. Here in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 2 Timothy 3, beginning here in verse 10, it says, and we're talking about defending the faith and the things that we believe, "But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, and afflictions." That's an awful lot that Paul was dealing with. That was an awful lot. And he says, you've fully known my doctrine and my manner of faith, my manner of life. He had a mindset already prepared for what he was going to be facing. "Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra." No, he was stoned there and left for dead. He was. "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And I find a lot in those verses. Number one, we have to endure things and difficulties and persecutions, and then recognize, you know, that God is the one that takes care of us. And he says, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for the persecution that could come upon us because of our faith? I just read this week in Tehran at the Revolutionary Court. A Christian was sentenced to 10 years for holding home church. 10 years, because they met in his home, you know, for church. And, you know, of course, the Bible. They can't read the Bible. You know, we saw some of that a little bit with COVID and restrictions, not being able to meet. People were given tickets. I remember one that was rather hilarious. They met out in California. They were social distancing, so they met in a drive-in. And the sermon went on the drive-in, and people just listened, you know, on the speakers. And people coming out of there got tickets. Got tickets. I'm just saying. You know, Matthew says, talking about famines and pestilences and these things, says these are the beginning of sorrows. I know we're not used to thinking about that mindset because we've had so much. We take it for granted. I take it for granted that I can just get out and go. I know I was never so glad in my life to get back to Texas after visiting the church group down there in, you know, out of Tampa Bay, out there on, you know, the island, where all there is concrete houses and shopping centers. There's no, it was like, get me back to Texas in wide open spaces. You know, what a blessing it is. But what if we can't afford some of these things? Bob McComb was in this week, and we were talking about some of the cutbacks and the things that we're having to do in life. Because of it. Oh, here's another one. I had my car washed day before yesterday. Anybody had a car wash lately? You know what it cost me? $17. It used to cost me $7 for, you know, the one with no shine, just the basic, and $12. Well, now it's up to $12 and $17. I'm not going back. I will wash my car in my driveway. This is where we're headed. You know, we've had a lot of conveniences, a lot of things that, you know, I could probably still afford that. But like Bob was saying the other day, what will we do when we can't afford these things? What happens then? So we have to, you know, be prepared. And all who live godly will suffer persecution. And, you know, even the children of Israel, when the plagues were going on, they were part of, you know, the first four. If we think we can escape all of these things, we're not. We have to be prepared for, you know, persecution, even religious persecution, because our belief system is against government and local government and policies we see being set. Sorry, it is just that way. Even the Supreme Court is passing laws that as Christians we are abhorred by. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with it? Well, I think we have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Turn with me back to Daniel. We have to be like them. I don't plan to read a whole lot of this, but you know, we know the story. You know, the proclamation came down from Nebuchadnezzar. You're to worship this image. Whenever you hear the sound of certain trumpets, you're to bow down and worship. And, you know, then reports came back to him, to Nebuchadnezzar, saying, you know, there's some people that aren't doing this. They're not following your instruction. Of course, it made him angry. And so they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, is it true? And they said, yeah, it's true. We're not bowing down. And he says, well, if you don't bow down, and I'll give you another chance, if you don't, then you will be thrown into the, you know, fiery furnace. And their answer was, notice this, verse 16, chapter 3 of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. That is bad English, actually. That's really not the way that I believe they said it. I believe they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to deliberate long on this. We already know what we're going to do. Because they'd already said in their minds what they were going to do. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, see, their answer was even not knowing what would happen to them. They still were not going to fall down and worship that idol because they knew the commandments. They knew what they were supposed to do. If not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. And then it says, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar, being full of fury, he said, heat up the furnace seven times, and he threw him in there, and God delivered him. He says, didn't we throw three in there? Why are there four walking about? And God delivered them. And the mindset they had was the one that I believe we need, which is, we already know what we're going to do. We already have said in our hearts and minds that we are going to follow God, no matter what. No matter what the persecutions, no matter what comes about. Things are going to get more difficult than they are now. If we think this has been something, this, as it says, is the beginning, the beginning of sorrows. And we'll read in Matthew about that in just a minute. But, you know, that is the mindset. Now, also, I find this over in Luke chapter 12. And I won't be here today for the study, but I'd love this as a interactive open study question. In Luke 12, beginning in verse 13, we hear we have the parable of the rich fool, and we know the story. We know that Christ warns, says, take heed, verse 15, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And I'm just saying that has been the driving motivation of society ever since I've been around, is gathering more, getting more, having bigger, you know, all of that. It's all about, you know, that thing, abundance of things which you possess. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room wherefore to bestow my fruits? And he said, this is what I'll do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. And there I will bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. oops, wrong kind of preparation, isn't it? Wrong kind of preparation. But God said unto him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. For then whose shall be those things which you have provided? And in the bottom line, you know, bottom line of it all is, when we die, no matter what we have, we take anything with us? I mean, the only thing we take with us is a heart of wisdom, and that spirit goes back to God, you know, with hopefully a lot of good things written in the book of life that he has for us. But he says here, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And then drop it down, verse 29, it says, seek not what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful minds. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And he's telling us, don't be anxious about this kind of things. You know, Matthew has said that. Also, Matthew 6. For your Father knows that you have need of these things, but rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we have to settle, you know, this is my thought on this. We have to settle in our hearts what we're going to do ahead of time. We have to know what we're going to do. We have to already have thought about it. The scripture in Matthew 10, verse 19 says, take no thought what you shall speak. Mark 13, 11 says, take no thought beforehand what you will say. Luke 12, 8 through 12 says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you what you shall say. So here's the thing. We don't have to, if the Holy Spirit's going to give us what we need, we don't have to prepare mentally ahead of time. You know, it's kind of this way. We settle it ahead of time, because if we don't have anything in there of faith, if we don't have anything in there of conviction, if we don't have anything in there of being courageous, that will not come out. But then we let God give us the words that we need. But, you know, it's kind of like if you put nothing in, you're not going to get anything out. It's foolish to even think of that. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do in these days ahead? I have never lived at a time of Christian persecution to the extent that they had it in the first century, where they were actually brought up and thrown in prisons and killed. Paul went about threatening the church with those things too. What are we going to do? Will we be prepared? Are we prepared for what's coming? I sometimes wonder where our heads are, because it's like we just expect that tomorrow we're going to wake up and Christ is going to be here and the kingdom's going to be here, and we're going to go from where we are in this affluent life to the kingdom without much difficulty. That's not what I read. That's not what Scripture says. That's not what I see. Because God has to do a lot. Jesus Christ has to do a lot to change and bring an end to this age before we can have the new one. We can be welcomed into that, into the kingdom. There's a lot that has to happen. And it says in Matthew 24, 13, blessed is he that endures to the end. We're going to see a lot of things happen in our lifetime. There's going to be famines. There's going to be, you know, all of the wars, rumors of wars. You know, if you read the book of Revelation and you see all the seals opened and the difficulties that come, I'm not going to be one that tries to prognosticate that. I just know this. All of those prophecies are given for us for a purpose, and that purpose is so that we can be ready, that we're ready here mentally. I don't need to know the day or the month or the year. And how many of us have heard, you know, those prop? I was sitting in the front row Bible study in 1972, and I heard the pastor say in Bible study, he says, "And Wynn here is going to be one of those young men that just goes right into the kingdom. He'll be one of those young warriors, as you know, to begin the you know the kingdom." Because we expected the world to end in 1972, and then we had 1975 in prophecy, and we've, and then from the, now I hear there's those prognosticating 2036, and we've had all of these prognosticators, you know, all along. Well, guess what? I'm 68 and I'm still here. But God's promises are true. He will, you know, deliver. And maybe my place of safety is in the grave. I don't know. But if we are alive and remain, because Scripture says there are those who are alive and remain, if we are there at that time, we will have endured a lot. We will have endured a lot. And, you know, we see that God is going to have to raise up two witnesses, and angels are going to have to do things. There's stories, if you read Josephus, about 70 A.D. in Jerusalem, where intervention took place, where, you know, they saw, you know, chariots and angels and things like that helping them get out of Jerusalem. That's Josephus' history. It's a really interesting read because God was with them, and God will be with us. But I am not so sure that we won't suffer some things. I am not so sure that it won't be difficult. And if we aren't prepared physically for difficulty, and if we aren't prepared in our hearts and minds with courage and faith, you know, spiritually, then, you know, if we aren't, that's difficult. Deuteronomy 31:6. I want to read this and one other scripture. This was Moses speaking to the children of Israel from God. And I say this of us, please be this way. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Hey, we don't know what's ahead specifically. Be prepared to reduce your lifestyle. Be prepared to go without. Be mentally strong. You know, don't cave in just like the children of Israel did when they were in the wilderness. Don't cave in and complain. We have to be strong and of good courage. That's who God is looking for. Fear not. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can't be fearful. And be not afraid of them, whatever them, whoever the them are, or the them is. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He it is that does go with you. He will not fail you, and He will not forsake you. And I know that. I know that. But if you look at every generation in the history of Christianity and mankind from the very beginning, every generation has gone through difficulty. And we're headed there. We are in it. We are in that. And I want to say this. I won't turn to this, but you could read it, Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 11. Acts 4, verse 32, 34 through 35. Nor was there anyone among them that lacked, because they sold lands, houses, and brought proceeds to the disciples. I'm not saying we're necessarily in that time, but I'm just saying, he that has this world goods, we better help each other out through difficulty. When those are suffering spirit, you know, with illnesses and sicknesses, we better call them. We better offer encouragement. You know, if those are, somebody is having some financial issues because of an illness like that, we should help them, you know. We should be of that mindset. And that is, you know, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. I don't think there's ever a time like now for us to be men and women and children of love and care for one another. And we're going to need each other as times get tougher. We're going to need each other for support. And we're going to need each other, you know, hey, maybe we do a little barter system. You bring me cucumbers, I'll give you green beans. Whatever it is. You want tomatoes? We'll take care of one another. Because that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. Acts 11 talks about, you know, that they did relief for the famine for those brethren in Judea. They helped them out. They sent relief. And Romans 1 Corinthians 16 talks, there was a collection for the poor in Jerusalem because of difficulties going around. So here we are, we're in it. We're in this. Hard times are here. And let's be prepared, mentally and spiritually, and let's help each other out. Make sure we love one another. And in the end, we know, overall, God is faithful and He will deliver us.